Psalm number one, I suppose we'll be considering most of the psalm. If you want maybe a theme, we'll maybe just stick to the first two verses. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Let's bow together in prayer. Let's seek the Lord that he would come, that he would take his word and apply it to our hearts just now. Lord, we thank thee for the scriptures of truth, and we're glad that being found here in a place like this, gathering together in obedience to thy word and coming into the place where thou hast promised to be, to meet with thy people. We thank thee, Lord, for the open book then that is before us, and that as we come, we are exposed to the very word of God, the perfect and inspired word, the sufficient word. We pray that as the word is declared, as it is preached, that it may be preached in power and with authority from on high. I confess, O God, that in me there is no natural strength to perform this task. It must be a work of God. I pray therefore for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Cleanse me afresh from sin, fill me with the Spirit, and thereby enable me to declare the word aright. And even as the word goes forth, may the Spirit himself take of it and apply it rightly and appropriately to each and every heart. We ask that going from this place, we might go as a people who have heard from our God, as a people who have been touched by the word, who have been comforted or rebuked or whatever is needed. We pray that thou would come now and bless our souls and glorify Christ, for we ask it again in his name. Amen. The Bible uses many different illustrations to portray the believer. He is described in various places as a child, a citizen, a priest, a stone, a body part, a sheep, or a soldier, to name but a few. And all of these pictures are used to teach us different truths about ourselves as the people of God. You know, as soldiers, we have a battle to fight and a commander to obey. As sheep, we have little strength and rely for everything upon the Lord, our shepherd. As citizens, we belong in God's kingdom. We have a right to be there. We have an entitlement that comes with citizenship, and we look to the Lord as our king. All of these pictures, therefore, are very instructive, and they are helpful to your understanding and mine to teach us about ourselves as the Lord's people. Well, before us in the Psalm number one, we see two more illustrations or pictures. One of them is of a tree planted by the rivers of water, and another is of the chaff blown about by the wind. Now, one of these pictures relates to a man or a woman most miserable, and the other relates to one who has tremendous blessing. We're looking to consider both of them to some degree today, but I suppose our focus is primarily upon the blessed man. The blessed man. Verse 1 begins by stating, "Blessed is the man." Here is the man who is happy and who is blessed by God. The blessed man. Now, as we begin and as we want to look at this blessed man, we need to come to terms with who this man actually is. Who is it that's described here for us? Who is it that has such blessing from the Lord? And you see this firstly as we consider the identity of this blessed man. And I want you to notice firstly that this man is one who delights in the right object. He delights in the right object. This blessed man has his delight in something. He takes particular pleasure in something. And you might ask, well, what is it? What is this thing that he delights in? And verse 2 tells us, tells us there, his delight is in the law of the Lord. This man takes pleasure in God's law. Now, when you read the word law there, you're not to think only of the Ten Commandments and of some of those Levitical laws and so on. The word law there is referring to the whole substance of God's word. It's used there in the same sense that it's used in Psalm 119, verse 18, when the psalmist said, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." And the psalmist wasn't talking about having his eyes opened only as he read Exodus chapter 20 and the book of Leviticus. He also wanted his eyes opened as he read every portion of Scripture, of God's word. And that's the sense that it's used here. His delight is in the law of the Lord, or the word of God, that which God has revealed. He delights in the entirety of God's word. Now that tells us something. That tells us that this man is the believer. He is the Christian. He is the one who takes God at his word when God warns us about sin and judgment. He is the one who delights in the way of salvation that is revealed in the word of God. He is the one who gladly acts on the basis of what God's word declares. He is the one who is willing to stake his whole eternity upon the truth of what God has said. It's the Christian. The unsaved person doesn't truly delight in the word of God. Yes, they might enjoy reading it at times, perhaps, but they don't delight in it. Their affection isn't set upon it, for that word condemns them. If you're not saved today, that word condemns you. The scripture declares time after time that you're in your sin, that you're an enemy of God, that you're going towards a lost eternity and judgment. You might enjoy reading portions of it, perhaps, but your delight isn't in it. If your delight was in it, you would embrace what it taught. Here's the question: what about you as we think of delighting in the Word of God? Is your delight in the Word of God? Do you rejoice in God's Word? Have you taken heed to God's Word? Is it your delight to do His will? This blessed man is the believer. But I suppose more than that, we can see that this blessed man not only delights in the word and rejoices in what is told him there, but this blessed man also takes particular care with the word of God. For we read in verse 2 that in his law, in the word of God, doth he meditate day and night. This is not just a man who has prayed some prayer sometime in the distant past and is resting there. That's not the man that's before us. No, the man before us is one who day by day is taking heed to the scriptures, to the word of God. He ponders it continually. He meditates day and night there. That original word, meditate, it contains the thought of uttering or murmuring, speaking. It's as if he's constantly speaking God's word to himself in his own mind over and over, day by day, as he goes through his daily tasks. He is viewing everything in the light of God's word. He is bringing to mind the scriptures and what God has declared to his soul. He is continually focusing upon the precious truth of the word. And all of this is the source of his delight. Now let's face it. What you think about most is oftentimes the thing that you delight in the most. If your real affection is set on a football team, you tend to think about the football team and all of the players and how they're doing and how they're doing in the table and so on. If your delight is in some particular hobby, maybe a musical instrument, and that's your whole drive and your focus, well, that's the thing that you think about. When you delight in something, you think about it. Well, the blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and therefore, naturally, he thinks about it. He ponders it. He meditates upon it. His focus is upon the Scripture and upon the one revealed in the Scripture, Christ himself, the Word made flesh. He finds true delight and joy as he looks there. What is it that gives you delight? Is it family? And there's a sense in which that's good. Is it a hobby? Is it your job? All of these things are all right in their place, but oh, that your delight and mine would be Christ. Oh, that your delight and mine would be Christ's word. Oh, that that would be the fixed thing upon which our mind continually returns. Oh, that our mind would continually go back to Christ, day by day, moment by moment, that we would rest there and meditate upon him and upon his word, even day and night. As you go about your day, do you let your mind rest upon the word of God? Do you bring everything to the Bible? Do you fix your mind upon Christ? The blessed man delights in the word of God and the God of the word, the Savior of the word. He delights in God's word. His desire, his delight is fixed in the right object. We see something else about the identity of this blessed man. Not only is his desire fixed in the right object, but he is a man, or a woman, we could say as well. He is a man who avoids the wrong company. He avoids the wrong company. Verse 1 tells us that this man walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, for the sake of time, I'm not going to dwell upon every clause that's there, but suffice to say that this blessed man does not company with those who would lead him astray. He has no part with the ungodly. He refuses to walk in fellowship with them. And not walking with them, he will not be brought to a standstill by them, nor will he be tempted to sit down with them and make his bed in their camp. Rather, his delight is in the law of the Lord. His company will be found with the Lord and with those who likewise love the Lord. Now, that's not to say that he never speaks to the ungodly. It's not to say that he treats unsaved family members as if they didn't exist and he separates from them. Rather, this is to do with fellowship. It's not to do with never speaking to a certain person or never being a witness to that person, never taking time for that person. It's to do with fellowship. It's to do with your company, your close, intimate company of friends. The Lord Jesus Christ often spoke to the ungodly. He preached and spoke to the unbelieving Pharisees often enough. He ate with publicans and sinners. He was condemned for that by the Pharisees. He ate with publicans and sinners. And yet, they were not Christ's company. You couldn't say that they were the ones whom Christ really fellowshipped with. He certainly went to the publicans and sinners. He wanted to reach them with the gospel message of himself. But they were not his company. They were not the group with whom Christ fellowshipped. Christ's company was made up of his disciples, those who, yes, were unperfect, yes, were far from what they ought to be, and yet those who truly did share a love for the Lord, those who truly were saved and wanting to go on with God, they were Christ's company. And so it must be with you and me. The blessed man does not keep company, fellowship, with the ungodly. He separates from them. He will not let them influence him. Who is your company? Who is it that you fellowship with? If you take the worldly as your closest friends, you will become worldly. If you take great sinners into your inner circle, you will be enticed to sin. Far better for the child of God to have company with those who are like-minded, more than that, to have company with the Lord, to have company with the Lord through his word, rather than delighting yourself in the company of the ungodly. Oh, delight yourself in the law of the Lord, and in his law, meditate day and night. This is the identity of the blessed man. He is one who turns aside from all distractions, from all temptations. He turns aside from wicked influence, and who turns and sets his desire upon the word of the Lord and upon Christ who is revealed in that word. But having considered his identity, let us consider the illustration now that's used of this blessed man. The illustration used of the blessed man. Verse 3 tells us that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You can notice firstly there his sustenance. His sustenance. If you were to stand in the middle of a great desert and you were to look around, I imagine, I've never been there, but I imagine that you wouldn't see too many trees. If a tree is going to thrive and grow and bear fruit, even survive, it needs water. It needs a supply of water. It needs something to sustain it. But here the blessed man is likened to a tree, not off in the desert place, but one which is planted by the rivers of water. Now notice there the abundance of this supply, not just a river of water, but rivers, rivers. The tree is planted by the rivers. There is nothing lacking in this great provision. There is an abundance. All that is needed to sustain this tree is there. It's an abundant supply. Not only is it an abundant supply, but it is a continual supply. You know, if a tree was planted far from the river, it could maybe survive all right if it was a place with plenty of rain, but it would have to wait for the rainfall to get its water. Maybe if it was a place that was prone to barren spells, the rain would fall and the tree would get that water to sustain it, but then it would have to wait quite some time for the next fall of rain. And there's this barren period when things aren't so good for the tree. Well, that's not the case here. The tree is planted by the rivers of water. It has a constant supply. Day after day, those rivers are bringing fresh water to the roots of the tree. There is no barren patch. There is no dry spell. You know, that all serves to illustrate the blessed man. He has an abundant and a continual supply from the Lord, and that supply sustains him, causes him to thrive, to grow, to flourish, to bear fruit, to grow in godliness. He has a supply that sustains him. Now, what is the supply? What is this great supply that gives him life and nourishment? What is it? Well, it's the word of God. That's what the psalm is about. The psalm is about the blessing of setting your desire in the word of God. The supply is the word of God. He is blessed because, ignoring the influence of the ungodly, his desire is in the law of the Lord, and the law of the Lord sustains him. If he was constantly heeding the ungodly, he would be like a tree planted by the poisonous lake. And day by day, the roots are bringing in bad water, bringing in nutrients that are going to do harm. But because his delight is in the word of God, he has this life-giving, abundant, continual supply. Child of God, as you come to the word of God day by day, You are coming to that which is sufficient for your soul now and right through. You'll never reach the point when you've come to the scripture and you've said, well, I've read it all already. I've got everything from it. God can't speak to me from this book anymore. That's not the case. There's always going to be a fresh supply there. It is the living word. The Lord speaks to his people through the scriptures. The living word. There is a fresh supply for you today. There will be a fresh supply tomorrow and the day after that and beyond. It is continual. It is abundant. For there, as I say, it is sufficient and to give you all that you need. There is plenty there to sustain your soul. I wonder, are there times in your Christian experience when you feel almost lifeless? Are there times when you are cold at heart? Are there times when you know it, you've felt it, you're weak, and you are powerless in the Christian life? Is it the case that you are in that condition because you have neglected this tremendous supply from the Lord? Is it the case that you have neglected his word? You haven't been feeding your soul there. You haven't been seeing your Savior there, coming to it and getting that fresh sight of him. If you want to have this abundant, continual, life-giving sustenance from the Lord, you must find it in the word that he has given you. You must set your delight in the law of the Lord. We've seen his sustenance, this blessed man's sustenance. Notice also here, in terms of this illustration, notice his fruitfulness. We read in verse 3 that he bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Being sustained with this abundant supply from the rivers of water, the tree that is before us, it naturally bears fruit. When you think of it, in the main, you can expect that if you take a plant of any sort and you supply it with the nutrients it needs and the right supply of water and sunlight and so on, it's going to bear fruit. If you give what the plant what it needs, if you give it that which will sustain it, that which is healthy for it, it's going to thrive. It's going to bear fruit. Here, the tree is expected to be in good health because it is given the right supply, and you can therefore expect fruit. It is the natural outcome. That's just what happens. And I suggest it's the same for the child of God. If you are saved by the grace of the Lord, looking by faith to Jesus Christ, sustained upon the word which the Lord has given to you, I expect that you will flourish. It's the natural thing. It's the natural outcome. If you have all that you need, if the Lord has supplied all of this, this sustenance, this life-giving sustenance from his word, if you're there resting in Christ, it is the natural outcome. You will bear fruit. If you want a life that is fruitful for Christ, if you want a life that is used for Christ, that is pleasing to Christ, again, you need to be by that source of sustenance. You need to be heeding the word, meditating upon it, submitting your life to it, living it day by day. Set your delight upon the word of God, upon the Savior revealed there, and naturally, you will bear fruit. There's a nice little encouragement there when you think of this blessed man as a tree that brings forth his fruit. You know, I know that the best of us are far from perfect. We have many flaws. And yet there is a nice little reminder here that by the grace of God, the Christian can live in a way that pleases the Lord. As the Lord looks upon the life of his child, he sees fruit. He sees something of worth. There is something pleasing about it. It is fruit. Now, it's obviously all by his grace that we produce fruit. We can't produce fruit without him. The best of us will produce nothing of worth without the Lord. But there is fruit here. The Lord sees something pleasing about the life of his people. There's fruit. The life of the unsaved person is very different. There's nothing fruitful about it. He is not a tree that is planted by the rivers of water and bringing forth his fruit in his season. Rather, as you think of the unsaved person, verse 4 compares him to the chaff. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Chaff is the opposite of fruit. Chaff is the waste product that is separated from good grain during threshing. It is a waste product. It's not worth anything. It's valueless. The wind carries it away because the farmer does not want it. It's worthless to him. If you are not saved here today, if you're not resting in Christ, living in obedience to his command, if you have not turned from your sin by the grace of God, this is the summary of your life and of your life's work. It is chaff. Chaff. While the believer has a life that in some manner is pleasing to God through Christ, while the believer's works are seen to be fruit and pleasing to God, your best efforts are chaff. There is nothing there that will merit your place in heaven. There is nothing of value. You might think that it's valuable. You might imagine that your respectable character, your good deeds, that they have brought you favor with God. But it's chaff. It's worthless. It's of no value. It is not enough to even deserve God's momentary smile upon you. Never mind his eternal salvation. It is worthless. Your best efforts, your best deeds are as filthy rags before the Lord. Only in Christ can fruit be born. Only in Christ can the Lord be pleased. You need Christ. You need to find your way to the cross where he died in the place of sinners. You need to place your faith in the Savior who is declared to you in the Word of God. Then, and only then, will you be as the tree planted by the rivers of water and bearing your fruit. Until then, until you're in Christ, the best of your deeds, the best of your efforts, chaff. The ungodly, that is the unsaved, are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Notice also, in terms of this blessed man, notice his steadfastness. His steadfastness. We've thought about his sustenance. We've thought about his fruitfulness. Notice his steadfastness. In verse 3, we read that this blessed man is like a tree planted. Planted by the rivers of water. That word planted, along with the whole picture, it reminds you of the steadfastness of the Christian who delights in God's word. The picture here before us is of this great and strong tree that is flourishing, and it is planted. Its roots go down deep into the ground. The tree is not going to be moved. Should the high winds come, this tree has roots that will keep it anchored. So the child of God who delights in the Word of God is steadfastness. He is unmovable. He will not be shaken. When the testing time comes, in this scene of time, he will endure like that strong tree. He has deep roots planted in the Lord and feeding on the Lord's word. He is in good health, planted to resist the wind that would come. When he comes to that great and terrible day when Christ shall judge the living and the dead, he shall still be steadfast, immovable. He will not be shaken, resting his all upon Christ, who is the incarnate Word of God, God made flesh. His sin is dealt with. The wrath which was against him is removed. The enmity between him and his Creator is no more. It is well with him. In that day of judgment, he shall still be planted, firm, steadfast, immovable. You have plenty to rejoice in, child of God, you who rest in Christ and his salvation, plenty to rejoice in. Oh, it is well with your soul. The Lord will keep you now in time by his mighty hand, and he will secure you for eternity. You are as the tree planted. As you delight your soul in the Word of God and Christ, who is the Word made flesh, you are as that tree planted. Planted in time. Planted for eternity. Secure. Secure in the Lord. But some of you are here, at least I imagine that some of you are here, who are not in this blessed condition. Only the blessed man is like this tree, planted. This illustration only pictures the one who delights in the Word of God. You who are not Christ's are described in verse 4. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. While the believer is steadfast and immovable, you are driven away by the wind. You are loose. You are pulled to and fro. You are driven about by the desires of Satan and the way of this world. You have no footing, no firm grasp, no security, no security whatsoever, no firmness or stability now in life. And you will have no stability when it comes to that dreadful, terrifying day when you shall stand before the throne of the risen and glorious Christ. Verse 5 declares, if this is you, the ungodly, the unsaved, the one outside of Christ, if this is you, pictured as the chaff which the wind driveth away, verse 5 says, coming away from the illustration, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. You shall not stand, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Without the perfect righteousness that is found in Christ alone, without Christ's salvation, there shall be no place for you found in the congregation of the righteous. While that great company of the redeemed go forth from the judgment day in gladness and rejoicing to be with their Lord forevermore, there will be no place for you. You will have no right to be there. You will not be able to stand amongst that joyful crowd. Only the redeemed are there. Only the Lord's may enter in. You will be left in outer darkness. In that day when Christ sits upon his throne and the books are opened, in that day of judgment, you shall not stand. The way of the ungodly shall perish. With that in mind, would you not rather now in this day of grace, fix your sight upon the Word of God and the great salvation which is declared there. Would you not fix your sight upon Jesus Christ, the Word who was made flesh? Would you not delight your soul in Him? Do so. Come unto Christ. Turn from your sin. Find refuge in Him. And you shall be as that tree planted by the streams of living water. You shall bring forth your fruit in your season. You shall prosper. And you shall live forevermore. Come to Christ, and these blessings are yours, as they already belong to the child of God. In the psalm before us, there are two pictures: the tree and the chaff. As you go from this place, one of the two pictures speaks of you. One of the two refers to you. Which one is it? Are you the tree? Are you the chaff? The test is this: is your delight in the Word of God and in the Saviour of that Word? Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. May God bless His Word to all of our hearts today. We'll turn to the hymn 585 as we close. The hymn 585. Well, maybe just sing the